The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this. Well, it's what is it, the
8th?
You hear that? You hear that? That echo over there? Okay. The 8th day. Why don't you tell them what month it is? It's
March.
March. There you go.
Yes.
The 8th day of March, 20?
23.
There you go. Now listen, that's little Lisa. Little Lisa weighs about the same as Kyle's shadow. And she's here. And speaking of Kyle.
Good evening.
He's, yeah, that's okay. Now.
Good evening, Pastor. Thanks for the weight joke. That's a good way to start.
All right. No, I was going to say Kyle, our producer, with an ear-to-ear smile, okay? And still hanging around here because he told me he wasn't invited anyplace else, wanted to know if he could sit in with me and kind of mess things up. I said, yay! And we have from Sword of the Dove, none other than Pastor Mike Fodor.
Glad to be on your show.
What are we going
to do? Been waiting months and years.
We're going to do some things different tonight. Okay, but so we're going to get right into it. Right into it. You got a kind of a deep voice. Did you know that?
I did. I had surgery a little over 20 years ago. They had to cut out some bad stuff out of my throat. God healed me. I had throat cancer. They had to take out 80% of my voice box. I had two good Jewish doctors on my case, Dr. Tucker and Dr. Jesus, and they got it all out. Had to rebuild my vocal cords so I could speak. One side's almost like a violin string made from residue in there. So God healed me.
Can you sing?
Not too good. I can only sing bass. I can sing Elvira pretty good.
Alrighty. Well, Danny Ray and I think are going to make another song, so maybe we'll just pull you in there with us, okay?
Elvira.
And it'll be something. Alrighty. What we're going to do tonight, we're going to switch off a little bit now. I'm gonna become tonight Joe Sixpack. Now, do you know who Joe Sixpack is?
He's like the common everyday guy who's trying to learn stuff.
Well, yeah, he's the guy that can't kind of figure the things out. And what is all this Bible stuff that you're trying to tell me? And so I want to find out about this this thing you call the rapture, right? And because I heard that word's not even in the Bible. And what's this pre-trib stuff? I want to know all about it because I've never heard of this. So tell me, what is the pre-trib rapture? Because you have a whole series of CDs, a whole series of CDs where you talk about the rapture, right?
Yes, we have a Bible class on the book of Revelation, which is actually 20 CDs. We covered the whole book in about 15 or 25 hours worth. And we've actually captured the questions and comments of the class students. So it makes it like you're sitting right in the class. But we covered the whole scheme of the book. Learned a lot.
All right. So now you have people, and this is kind of a strange thing that's happened. And I think I know why. I've known pastors, friends of mine, who have been out there with me for the past 50 years teaching the Bible, people that have always been pre-trib. And all of a sudden, they changed a few years ago. And they changed over from pre-trib to mid-trib or post-trib. And it happened right about the time that you had ISIS beheading a lot of people. Do you think that beheading a lot of people, and do you think that had anything to do with what the book of Revelations talks about, and that these guys were seeing some things and kind of, I don't know, misjudging the times?
Well, I think a lot of pastors and Christians in America have changed their position out of a guilty conscience. They think they haven't suffered enough for Jesus or been persecuted, that we've gotten off easy, and it's almost like we've got to be able to prove ourselves, and this is the time to do it during that seven-year Great Tribulation. Yeah, it talks about beheadings, and that could be certainly a Muslim implication. But I think also of the guillotines in the French Revolution, which was very anti-Christian revolution, but they were chopping people's heads off. And Dr. Guillotine was a good, devoted Catholic man, so he was looking for an easy, safe way to cut somebody's head off where they wouldn't feel it.
Well, you know, there's a lot of talk about bringing the guillotines back. In fact, there's some evidence that there's already, our government already has a good supply of them already.
Is that right?
Yeah. And so, is there anything you would put past right now with the current government we have? Is there anything that you would put past them?
No, and I do think the Antichrist regime, which I think will be based most heavily in Europe and the Middle East, I think that they would be interested in bringing back the guillotine. And that French Revolution.
When you talk about the Antichrist regime, would you say out of every nation of the world, the one that would be the most like Babylon the Great, would that not be America?
I think America's part of it, but I don't think Babylon is entirely America. I think America is going to be incorporated into that beast kingdom. But I almost think America's going to be more of a follower than a leader when that time comes.
If we go to Revelation chapter 18 and we read that and then we compare that with 9/11, with what happened here in 9/11, do you not see on a small scale in Revelation chapter 18 what's going to take place when we talk about the world Babylon?
Well, again, what the world Babylon is, a lot of think that it's Rome and a Roman-based empire once again in Europe that's rising, and they're certainly looking for the next Napoleon over there.
Well, the Babylon consists of three entities. You've got the Babylon, the economic, the religious, and the political. And so all three of those were housed in New York City. You have the World Trade Centers, they were the economic. And within the United Nations, you had the World Council of Religions housed right inside the United Nations building. So you had all three of those. And if you go to Revelation chapter 18, I think we see something. We see exactly what we saw during 9/11, okay, on a smaller scale. Why don't we look at that? Let's go over there really quickly.
I would point out one thing. Who do you think the woman riding the beast is? Who is the harlot?
Well, the harlot, I would say, would be the religious aspect, the great whore, okay? Really, because you have the economic and the political both turn on her, and they burn her with fire. And this would be exactly the way that would happen.
So before you look at the city, you have to figure out who the woman is, because at the end of chapter 17, the last verse says, and the woman you saw riding the beast is the great city.
Yeah. Okay.
So they're one and the same. The woman who is the harlot riding the beast, I believe it's a religious, military, and economic system, like the Holy Roman Catholic Empire.
Yeah, those are types and shadows. So sometimes they have several applications, okay?
Yeah.
And that's what you would have there. But in fact, tell us about, before we go there, tell us about right now. You've got all of these CDs here available. You got in each one of those, you have what, 12 different CDs?
Each CD set is 10 CDs or classes. So I'm very Roman. They're all 10. So you get 10 CDs in one set. It's an entire Bible college class. The Book of Revelation happens to be two volumes because of 22 chapters. But the first volume is only the first five chapters because I cover the seven churches and the seven church eras, which are historical. Very fascinating study that doesn't get covered much. I give them each their own class. So that's seven of the first 10 CDs right there.
What was it that made you decide to do that? What was the...
Well, actually, we had a Romanian couple in our church, and she came up to me, and she said that you need to teach on the Book of Revelation. You need to teach. You got to get pastor to convince to do it, because it says we get a blessing when we study and understand the Book of Revelation. So it's something we shouldn't shy away from, just because it's complex, because there's a lot of imagery, and we don't, you know, get it at first glance. God wants us to dig in. It's kind of like a puzzle. It's kind of like a game. He wants us to try to figure it out. It's there for a reason, and there's a blessing. And she was 48 years old at the time, and during that class, she got pregnant with their third son, so she got her blessing.
Oh, wow. Well, with the exception, for the most part, of the Book of Revelations, isn't the New Testament just kind of a commentary on the Old Testament?
Yes, but it's also, you know, additional revelation, right?
Yeah, and that's what I said.
Revelation itself is more of an Old Testament book than it is a New Testament.
Actually,
There's so much Old Testament imagery and references.
Let's read through this real quick, and I'll tell you what, I'll read verses 1 through 8. You pick it up at 9 and read 9 through 19.
Which chapter?
And Revelation chapter 18.
18, okay.
Okay, and then we'll come back and we'll do a little bit of commentary on that.
I got the King James, is that okay?
Let me ask you this, is there another Bible?
I'm all for the King James.
All righty, there you go.
Me and AC, for sure.
Okay, there ain't no other, that's the Bible. But, you know, you didn't tell people how you could get your DVDs.
Well, they can order them through Sword and Dove Ministries, or they can maybe even order them through your ministry with a pledge. I mean, that's going to become available. We've been talking about that.
All right. Well, you know, we'll have to find out what you're going to want for them because, yeah, we've been talking about it. They can make a pledge of how much to get one of these.
Okay, it's up to you. That's your call.
All right. I wanted to say this again tonight, Tim.
It's very much worth it, though, I'll tell you that. And we do include some jokes along the way in there, too. So it's a lot of people come for the classes just for the jokes.
So you're a joker, are you? Listen to this.
I open up on the lighter side. I like to.
Look, you got Kyle laughing, man.
Kyle loves my dad jokes. We didn't do them this week.
But he's got ear-to-ear teeth. Look at him. Man, yeah. I'll tell you, he's got a smile. It's a smile. It's a mile.
Kyle just shows up for the dad jokes.
All right, there you go. I'm gonna start out and try to be serious. Ready?
Okay.
And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, "Babylon the great has fallen, and become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. The merchants of the earth waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacy." And I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached into heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her a double according to her works, in the cup which she had filled to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow gave her. For she set in her heart, 'I sit as a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning, famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord who judges her. Now, before we go on, let's comment on this a little bit. Take me back to verse 4. I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins. So this is during the tribulation period. And so he's talking about coming out of Babylon here and being, and this is why this has an application of the great whore, Babylon, the religious sect of Babylon, that you receive not of her plagues. So that's during the tribulation period. It's going to be, if they come out of the great whore, they're going to do it at risk of their lives, are they not?
Yeah, it's going to be a dangerous time for sure if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, whether Jew or Gentile. So you will definitely be an enemy of the state, a wanted fugitive. You'll be hunted down. So coming
if you
out
come
in
out,
any way.
Right. Now, today we have the apostate church, and that's what she is. We have the World and National Council of Churches. You have the United Church of what they call of Christ, headquartered right here in Cleveland. Virtually, you have the Church of England, which we did quite a bit on last week. But virtually, they embrace everything that God's Word, the Bible, calls sin. If it's a sin, whether it's abortion, whether it's sodomy, whether it's pedophilia, they embrace it. Okay, this is the apostate. And so this is what the great whore is like. So during that tribulation period, people are going to come out and lose their life if they come out of there. But they'll be obedience to God, right?
Yeah, that's going to be a great decision to make. It's going to take a lot of courage, and I don't know how you're going to make it, to be honest, live off the land. Some are going to survive till the end of the Great Tribulation somehow. They're going to avoid the sword or the guillotine of Antichrist and his forces.
To know the name and the number, yeah. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. And that sounds a whole lot like the great whore, the religious part. But go ahead and pick it up in verse 9.
And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. Merchandise of gold, silver, precious stones, pearls, fine linens, purple, silk, scarlet, all manner vessels of ivory, vessels of the most precious wood, brass, iron, marble. And it goes on and on. How far did you want me to go?
Well, let me ask you this right here. What happened when 9/11 took place, when the planes flew in to the World Trade Centers? What did the Coast Guard do with all the ships in the harbor? There were hundreds of ships out in that harbor. They were ordered to do what? Drop anchor. Anchor right where they were. Now,
Right. Those
ships, many of them were carrying perishable merchandise. Let's see if it sounds kind of like what we see here. Keep reading.
Where do you want me to pick it up?
Right where you left off, yeah.
And
verse 12.
Verse 12. Merchandise, okay. I guess 13. Cinnamon, ointments, frankincense, wine, oil, fine flour, wheat, beasts, sheep, horses, chariots, slaves, souls of men. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee. And all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. And the merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in one hour so great riches has come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off. And they cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city?
All right, and it says, they cast the dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, the great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour she is made desolate. It's an interesting thing. I was watching when that took place. They had on Fox News, they had a sinkhole. There was a big sinkhole, and it swallowed up a car. And they had this, and in the background were the World Trade Centers. And as I was watching this, I saw the first plane fly in live, right into that. And here, from the time the first plane hit to the time the entire buildings were down, both buildings, was exactly 1 hour. Exactly 1 hour.
Yeah, but that didn't happen during the Great Tribulation. This event's going to happen halfway through the 7 year Great Tribulation.
Oh, I know that.
What
I'm telling you, this is a type in the shadow. It's a type. See, God's often, he shows us something on a small scale, and then he shows us the same thing on a little larger scale. And so, now what happened in New York City here on a small scale, this is talking about this on a world scale.
Let me tell you why I don't think America or New York City, which is representing America, right? I don't think it's Mystery Babylon in and of itself.
No, it's a type.
A type.
I'm telling you.
Okay, a type.
In fact, if you're going into the harbor of New York, just outside, there's a big sign that says Babylon.
Yeah, I know they have a suburb named Babylon, right?
I've been there.
Babylon on the Hudson.
Yeah.
The reason I don't think New York City is the city that's nuked or something during the Great Tribulation by the Ten Horns or the Ten Nations, is the last verse in 24. It doesn't fit the bill. The last verse of that chapter says, and in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. See, we don't have the history. New York City, America doesn't have the history at all for that. Who does? Rome and Europe. The Holy Roman Empire definitely could fit the bill for that. So I tend to lean towards, and a city can represent an empire. We saw that with Babylon, and we saw that with Rome. And, yeah, it's going to be a capital city that gets
demolished. There's two cities that are set on seven hills.
Rome.
And Jerusalem.
And Jerusalem could be the other. We kind of know what's going to happen with Jerusalem. That's not going to get nuked like this. It looks like a nuke to me. I mean, I don't know what you think.
Well, you're thinking of a neutron bomb.
Maybe.
According to...
God could go Sodom and Gomorrah on this place and do it himself. We know he's capable. One or the other.
Well, what it talks about there, Zechariah has the effects of a neutron bomb where people are standing there, their eyes and their tongues melt while they're standing on their feet. All righty, we're going to... Breakaway, we're going to play a clip, and when we come back, and then Mike has joined us tonight. He's going to be a lightning round guy. He's going to go at it. So,
oh boy,
we're giving him an opportunity. He's trying out tonight.
Trying out.
All right, you know, you ought to see this thing. He's got this big round thing, right? This big round thing in front of his mic, and he tells you that that's to keep him from popping his peas, right?
And popping my teas.
But Kyle
I that
told
at
me
broadcasting
this.
School.
Kyle told me that it's because you have a big nose, and that's why you got that thing up there.
Kyle would never say that about me.
I'm just going to let it go. Take it away, Kyle. Take it away, quick.
Founded in part by the Rockefellers, the United Nations has been acting as a de facto world government since 1945. Starting in the 1950s, the UN began funding scientists to measure for carbon dioxide. And in 1992, they drafted what they describe as the International Legal Instrument for the Conservation of Biological Diversity, and outlined their plans to seize control of land under the guise of climate conservation, known as Agenda 21, because they wanted to accomplish their goals by the 21st century. But by 2015, they were failing and officially pushed their deadline back with Agenda 2030. In 2010, the Rockefeller Foundation published Scenario for the Future of Technology and International Development, wherein they outlined four different ways of achieving their goals, which they wrote, once crossed, these axes create a matrix of four very different futures. In 2020, they crossed the axis into the lockstep matrix. In 2022, at their 15th Convention on Biological Diversity, COP15, the UN increased the amount of land they plan to steal to 30% by 2030. Their 30 by 30 plan will require the displacement of millions. So far, the direct confiscation approach is working in Europe. The Dutch farmers have been peacefully protesting, but they are being shot at by the police, and so the government isn't stopping, which is why the direct approach won't work in America. Less than a year after Agenda 21 was drafted, the U.S. federal government attempted stripping away constitutional land rights from the Bundy family in Nevada. It was fought in the courts for decades and resulted in a peaceful protest with armed protesters. To avoid a gunfight, the feds backed off and adapted their plans. In 2008, the Rockefeller Foundation published America 2050, a strategy to reclaim natural resources and reform the federal role in land use policy. The America 2050 documents outline which areas of the country will be depopulated and which areas will be politically absorbed into 10 new megaregions. The Rockefellers envision most of the depopulation to occur in the central corridor of the United States. These are the same states that experienced the most COVID vaccine deaths, a massive area that is not included in the America 2050 infrastructure map and excluded from the new high-speed rail system planned. A big part of Rockefeller's America 2050 is the High-Speed Rail in America plan, which requires the use of existing railways for its implementation. Some are suggesting that this is why we are seeing so many train derailments. There have been over a dozen derailments and chemical spills on railways in just the past few months, some of which, like the one in East Palestine, are highly suspicious. And these chemical spills could be used as an excuse by the state to evacuate you from your homes and steal your land. The Comprehensive Environmental Response, Compensation, and Liability Act, commonly known as Superfund, was enacted by Congress in 1980. The Superfund provides the EPA with the authority to seize control of private lands for long-term remedial response actions during the event of a toxic disaster. If what we are being told about the chemicals that were burned and released into East Palestine is true, then the EPA could plausibly shut down a massive area.
Folks, we're having some buffeting problems out here tonight. This often happens when I'm on the air, okay? But now I've got Mike here. He's not going to buffet on me. I know.
No.
He's not the buffeting kind of guy. And so, Mike, what do you have right there?
Well, I've got a news article hot off the press that Speaker McCarthy says CNN did more damage than Tucker. And then he has to talk about it. He says he was ambushed, basically, by rabid left-wing reporters for giving Fox News host Carlson access to January 6th footage. The Democratic Rhino Media Complex. Did you come up with that term? That sounds like something you would come up with.
that's the problem we have with the rhinos and the Republican Party. We're not for the rhinos. We would not be in the situation we're in right now.
And rhino means Republican in name.
It means only. McConnell. It means there's about a dozen or so rhino Republicans there.
Yeah. Mitt, we used to call them the establishment Republicans.
Mitt Romney,
back in the day.
Yeah. Well, the word Tory during the Revolution actually came from the word traitor Tory. That's what they were referring to.
Is that right?
Trade or Tories, and they were just referred to as Tories, yeah.
You know I'm half Canadian, so be careful.
Already.
Reporters asked McCarthy why he chose transparency over politics. Imagine that, reporters, in deciding to release the footage. He defended Tucker Carlson. Each person can come up with their own conclusion. I just want to make sure that I had transparency. I'd like to point out that if it wasn't for those radical 20 Republicans that held out on voting for McCarthy, this would have never happened because they made this part of the deal that he needed to release this and give transparency.
Absolutely. That what they did will go down in history because you're absolutely right. That was the deal. They made him hold it. He had, in fact, I think they got it in writing. They did get it in writing.
They must have. They had to.
Yeah. Yeah,
there were other things, too.
Yeah.
But this was one of them because so many Americans are being held without due justice or due course of law, and they made it a big issue.
Now, we don't have a Justice Department, okay? The Justice Department is completely, totally corrupted. I mean, Merrick Garland is completely corrupted. There's their own lock, stock, and barrel.
You don't think he would have made a great Supreme Court justice?
Yeah. There's a good reason, and he made it very, very clear that when he was turned down, that he would get his vengeance, and that's what he's doing. He's because Trump rejected him because he was so corrupt.
McCarthy also said that CNN aired footage that put him and his team at security risks. They gave up a secret location somehow in their reporting that they use and put his team at risk, and people were at danger. And so now they can't even use that place anymore, wherever that is. So he wasn't happy with CNN and the way they handled things.
Yeah. You know, here's an interesting thing before you go any farther. I want to say this. At the Tea Party meeting last night, there was a group of real pretty young ladies, patriotic Christian ladies, that came up to me.
Why did you lead with pretty and not patriotic ladies?
Well, no, yeah. Well, it's because they were all pretty patriotic, okay? You see, that's what I meant, see?
Right?
So now, they gave me this. Now, why don't you describe this?
Oh, it's the ugliest thing I've ever seen. It's a little toy elf, a little stuffed little toy elf with a green jacket with a Fauci face and these ears that could fly away like Dumbo.
It's got a Fauci face. Now, it also talks.
Social distancing forever. Hey, don't hug your mother. Deck the halls with lots of boosters. Vaccine shorts, booster jams, Wuhan rule the way. I am science. Vaccinate, vaccinate. Social distancing forever. Hey, don't hug your mother.
So there you go. This is what this little Fauci elf does. And it looks just like Fauci there.
And with a pledge for $100, you can have your own Fauci Christmas doll.
But here's the strange thing. When I walked in the door, these ladies, and one of them said, "There's Pastor Sanders," and they all come running over. And they said, "You got to have this. Why would someone want to give me this creepy little doll?" That's a question, right? I don't suppose you'd have an
opinion. You got to play it on your show. I'm glad you played it on your show and not my show.
All right, there you go.
It is pretty clever, though. He's got some great lines there. Really terrible lines, but
alrighty.
Pretty much sums him up.
Let me tell you about this. President Trump had 1.1 million people at his 2020 rallies. 1.1 million. Now, guess what? He had no violence. No violence. The only things that occurred were those that tried to get in from the outside, the Antifa and the burn, the communists. But on January 6th, with Ray Epps and the others present, and a whole lot of rogue FBI agents, dirty cops, there was a lot of violence. But now, who paid them to be there. You see, they weren't there for free. These people that came in were being paid. You don't suppose George Soros had anything to do with all that, do you?
There's a good chance maybe Bill Gates.
Let me read this. The Gateway Pundit reported in 2020, the number of people that attended Trump's rallies leading to the 2020 election compared to the number of people who attended Biden's rallies. Do you remember Biden's rally? There were 12 people there.
Like a million to one, isn't it?
The mainstream media never captured or reported on this data.
But Biden got more votes than any president ever. 80 million plus. I mean, where were they all?
Well, yeah. I mean, look at how many. He got the votes of a whole lot of dead people. Not only that, there was something like a thousand or more that had the very same home address. And so it was an amazing, you know, big house, huh?
That's an extended family.
Now, there were 1.1 million individuals who attended Trump rallies and less than 2,000 individuals who attended Biden's rallies. Now, think about this.
Less than 2,000?
Less than 2,000. Now, think about this.
How did he get 80 million votes then? Can you explain that to me? I know. You said a lot of dead people voted for him.
A lot of dead people voted for him, yeah. And the
a lot of those dead people were lifelong Republicans, too, before they died. It's amazing what death can do to you.
Well, Biden had a friend called Dominion, and Dominion helped him out a lot of there. And then you had little Marky, what they call Zuckerbucks, were paying people to vote over and over and over again. And
so, I noticed since President Trump's speech that some states are now locking down on this voting system thing, and they're changing their laws so this can't happen.
A number of them, right?
We need purple states to do that, though, not just red states.
Well, we're going to see this new video of Ray Epps on January 6th, uncovered by Jason Goodman at Crowdsource, the truth. Epps brushes past another man making hand signals. And so, they caught it all. They showed you how. Now, let me ask you this. Why wasn't Epps arrested? Well, he was so-called questioned, but they didn't find him guilty of anything, right? He's the guy that was instigating, telling Rush, go in there, rush it. You don't suppose that he was an FBI operative, do you?
I do suppose. I guess. That's the only thing that makes sense, right?
What do you got
there? Didn't he disappear into the wind? Is he gone?
Well, it's like, look, they just recently gave it, I read it last night, remember the amount, I think it was like $124,000 to, I read the article last night to Burn, Loot, and Murder, formerly Black Lives Matter, for burning and rioting and looting in New York City. The city paid them because they lost a lawsuit. Now, you've got the same Justice Department that are going after parents because the parents are going to PTA meetings or going to school board meetings and say, look, we don't want our children looking at pornography. We don't want them reading this. So the FBI is under a very dirty cop, Merrick Garland, who needs to repent. He really needs to repent. But he's sending FBI agents out to get parents. And then, of course, they've been going after. Now, check this out. Do you remember when the Supreme Court's justices' houses were stormed by protesters?
Yes.
Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think those protesters were with Burn, Loot, and Murder and Antifa, or were they pro-life activists?
I'm going to guess A.
Well, guess what? The FBI has got a special investigative unit to investigate pro-life activists for being a danger and threatening Supreme Court justices. How does that sound?
Is there any truth to that? I don't think so.
No, not any truth to it. This is where we're at now. People keep saying to me, well, then how are we going to win this? I mean, if we don't have a Justice Department, how are we going to get the bad guys into court? Look, Hunter Biden, Merrick Garland's been asked over and over and over, are you going to prosecute Hunter Biden? And he he goes all around it. He dances all around it. He won't give you a direct answer. Yeah. Well, I can't comment on cases that are under investigation. You know, he's not going to do that. Okay. Do you know why? Because Hunter Biden could probably bring a lot out on Merrick Garland too, couldn't he? I mean, that's how those people work, right?
Yes, they have a lot on each other to keep each other in line, I think.
Okay, and then in the background, let's just say that Merrick Garland went down. Let's say he took Joe Biden down. Do you know who Joe Biden could take down with him? The Clintons, Hillary. Joe Biden could take that down, right? And Obama, both, right? See, this is the way it works. This is the way. So now, how do you get around that? They can go directly to the courts. They can. Congress can start taking these cases directly to the courts, and then if they'd have to, they could use the military.
Well, let me ask you this: we had President Trump in there for 4 years. He tried to clean things up and get rein that in, because we know the FBI, CIA, Department of Justice have been a problem for decades, right? We talked about that earlier this evening.
Yeah,
he put in Sessions. What was the problem there? That he couldn't seem to get it right. Sessions, and then later put in Barr.
Yeah, what they do if they're not set up there, okay, to begin with. See,
the roots are deep.
Yeah, right. Whatever you have in your past, they're going to know about. They'll investigate. Now, if they can't get you, they'll go after a family member. And I think that's probably what happened with Sessions. I think they probably went after, and you know, at some point you've got to say no. I don't care. I'm not going to be blackmailed. I'm not going to be intimidated. I don't care if you threaten to kill my family. I don't care.
Jeff Sessions a rhino? Was he part of the global elite establishment?
Well,
I know Barr is now, looking back.
Oh, Barr absolutely was.
But was Jeff Sessions? I never could figure out what happened there with him.
Yeah.
The DOJ.
And again, that's the way they work. You have a lot of these that are working both sides of the field. The fellow that he just was kicked out by his own agency that was investigating Planned Parenthood, dropped a dime on that. You know who I'm? Project Veritas, okay?
Yeah.
The fellow that was the head of that, that was doing the investigation, they just found him going playing both sides of the field. Now, tomorrow night, don't miss tomorrow night's program. Just don't miss it, whatever you do. Listen to it, because a lot of things are going to be answered tomorrow night. We're going to answer a lot of those questions then. But what do you have right there?
Well, speaking of the DOJ, the corrupt AG, Merrick Garland, repeats huge lie about January 6th. We saw incredible meltdowns from Chuck Schumer and even Mitch McConnell actually losing their minds over the brutal truth being exposed by Tucker. Schumer arguably had the worst meltdown, not only throwing a tantrum on the Senate floor demanding Tucker to be censored, but also calling McCarthy a traitor. He continued to be unhinged. But Merrick Garland continues to spout the lie. What is the lie of January 6th? He said that it was a fundamental attack on American democracy, and over 100 officers were assaulted that day by protesters. I think
that's a lie.
And 5 officers died that day.
That's a lie. No officers died that day.
No officers died for sure from the mob or the crowd or whatever you want to call it. Right? We had one who died of a stroke later that night or the next day or something like that. Right?
Well. The day that they said he was killed, the night that they said he was killed, he was seen the next day, okay?
Oh, he was seen the next day?
Yeah, walking, and so.
That's what the new video surveillance showed, right?
Yeah.
So not even he was a victim.
No.
Even if it was stress-related, you can't even tie that into it.
Right. The only people that were murdered were the pro-lifers, the pro-Trumpers, and you've got both of them, I think, in your article. Ashley Babbitt was one, and She was murdered. She was shot by a dirty cop named Bird.
Michael Bird.
Michael Bird murdered her. He murdered her.
And to this day, she has not received justice for what happened to her, despite countless pleas by her mother.
Absolutely.
And
in fact,
second...
when the mother was there...
Was she?
The mother was there to protest on the anniversary of her daughter's death. The dirty cops in D.C. arrested her for being there to protest her daughter's death.
Mm. That's very low, very sad.
Yeah, it is.
A second female protester, Roseanne Boylan, was killed when she was repeatedly, I didn't know this, gassed and trampled and then beaten with a stick by police officer Lila Morris.
I watched her beat this poor woman that was down, and there was another dirty cop with her. There were two of them. But that one, that Lila Morris, was the dirty cop that was beating her.
So that probably finished her off. If she had been trampled before that, and she was already wounded.
Yep.
I didn't know this either. Two other Trump supporters, Kevin Greeson and Benjamin Phillips, we're going to mention their names. We don't want them to be forgotten. Died when Capitol Police started firing exploding gas canisters on the Trump crowd without warning. Did you know that?
I knew that they got hit. I didn't know that they had died.
It says here in the die.
Yeah.
Hot off the press. This is what you handed me.
All righty. Here you go.
How'd I do, by the way?
Well, you're doing okay.
At least how'd I do?
We'll keep practicing. We'll keep working at it here. Now,
golly,
this is out of the Gateway Pundit. And here's what it says. U.S. Marine sniper testified to Congress that he was denied the permission to shoot and kill Kabul airport suicide bomber who killed 13 U.S. service members. He could have taken them out, and they wouldn't allow him to do it. Let me read this.
I wonder why.
Yeah. Well, you know, let me just
truly
say this.
I wonder why.
I've said this time and time again. How many times have you heard that Joe Biden gave away $85 billion worth of our military? He did not give it away, okay? We told you before, the Biden crime family doesn't do anything for nothing, okay? There was canals of money that made it back, and finally there was an article from the Gateway Pundit we read that, yes, the Biden crime family was caught receiving gratitudes from the Taliban, okay? Which we knew it all. Yeah.
I'm shocked.
We knew it all along.
Our commander in chief. But really, what does Biden have to gain, or his administration, who's ever pulling the strings, and we kind of know who that is, but what do they have to gain with 13 service people if they allowed that bomber to go through with the dirty deed? What do they have to gain by that? Because that was a lot of bad publicity for them, wasn't it?
Okay, for the other side, let me ask you this. What is the attitude from the left, from the progressives, if you will, the Communist Party, which we formerly, what is their attitude towards our U.S. servicemen?
I think they think very lowly of them. They don't have much esteem at all.
They don't think any more of them than they do the police officers, do they?
I would agree.
If you're Biden and you're doing like what is taking place right now with our Pentagon, with the so-called Secretary of Defense, Austin, and Mr. Milley, where they send drag queens out to USO shows where they talk about equity, okay, within the military, where they try to force the poisonous poke on the military. The Department of Defense, our Department of Defense, is leading the world in the depopulation movement. See, people don't realize this. Pfizer and these others are working directly for the Department of Defense. This is why they're getting away with the murder that they're getting away with. They're working. We reported on this before. It's come out. It's not a secret anymore, okay? And so this is why, to show you here, it's more like Biden says, within that mindset, this would be like a sacrifice or an offering to the gods of the left. And that's why I think they
allowed. So you think that's why they ordered this guy to stand down, the sniper, when he could have taken him out?
Yeah.
They wanted Marines to die?
Yeah, I think so. I really do. Yeah.
All right. I get that, and I don't, because I don't see where they gain anything out of that. It's only 13.
They gain, I mean, it's a lot, but with the Communist Party, the globalist, and the world globalist, okay? And so when we get back from, I'll read the article when we get back from the break. We're getting close to the break, aren't we?
Three minutes.
Okay. Well, let me read this a little bit real quickly. Ready, regular? In July 2020, Joe Biden abandoned Afghanistan's Bagram airfield in the middle of the night. And nearly 20 years, after 20 years of U.S. occupation, the Biden regime shut off all electricity, slipped away in the night without notifying the base Afghan commander, who discovered the Americans' secret departure more than 2 hours after they left. The Taliban quickly took control of Bagram Air Base, which was only 30 miles north of Kabul, again on August 15th, and released thousands of terrorists held in its prisons. The Biden regime, Mark Milley, and the Afghans left Taliban military equipment, uniforms, rations, even sports drinks for the Taliban terrorist. Here, ISIS suicide bomber Abdul Rahman was incarcerated at the Bagram prison for the past 4 years until he was set free by the Taliban terrorist. Kabul airport bomber was an Afghan SK member who planned an attack on New Delhi. CIA detected a threat in 2017, notified Rah-Rah, nabbed him, gave him to U.S., which sent him to Bagram. Taliban released him, and he killed 169 Afghans and 13 U.S. soldiers. We're coming up to a break. I'll have to wait till after the break, right? Oh, wait a minute. Okay. Sergeant Tyler Varkas Andrews, a U.S. Marine Corps sniper, who served in Afghanistan during the surrender to Taliban forces, testified before Congress on Wednesday. Vargas told Congress that he was denied permission to shoot the suicide bomber in Afghanistan that killed 13 servicemen and over 170 civilians. He goes on to say, on August 22nd, an improvised explosive device ID probe took place down the canal, running along the perimeter of HKIA. This was ISIS or the Taliban performing an IED test run. We reported this to our chain of command. Days later, we received word to be on the lookout for two vehicles, borne IDs, described as gold or white Corolla and a green Mazda convertible. Around 2 a.m., on August 26th, intel guys confirmed the suicide bomber was in the vicinity of the nearby Abbey Gates. He was described as... Okay, all right, we're coming up to a break. I'm going to back off until we come after the break. I'll read the rest of this, but this will answer your question. So, we will be back right after this with a whole lot more, so don't go away. 3, 2, 1.
Fight the fight. Take the stand. Light the light. We are led. Let's come against the night.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance.